Good morning. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Reverend Chris Jimerson, co-lead minister at the church. I am wearing a black robe with a white cutout stole. My pronouns are he, him. It is a joy to be back with you this morning. I especially want to welcome you if you're new to the church, if you're joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you're watching the service. If you're here in person, please feel free to join us for the social hour after the service. Either way, please go to austinuu.org, click on worship, and then the link to our online visitor form. If you would fill that out, we would love to get to know you just a little bit better. Here, we welcome everyone, every beginning and path, every beautiful expression of human flowering, all pronouns, all the ways and ones we love, all abilities or disabilities, each and every one of you. You are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person. And in that tradition, I invite you to greet the holy among us this morning, either in the comments online or by turning to those around you if you're here in person.
Please join me in the words by which we light our chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Our call to worship this morning is We Are by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who is a mestiza Latina American poet, psychoanalyst, and post-trauma specialist raised in now nearly vanished oral and ethnic traditions. We do not become healers. We came as healers. We are. Some of us are still catching up to what we are. We do not become storytellers. We came as carriers of the stories we and our ancestors actually lived. We are. Some of us are still catching up to what we are. We do not become artists. We came as artists. We are. Some of us are still catching up to what we are. We do not become writers, dancers, musicians, helpers, peacemakers. We came as such. We are. Some of us are still catching up to what we are. We do not learn to love in this sense. We came as love. We are love. Some of us are still catching up to who we truly are.
One of the things that gathers us at First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin is that we have a common religious purpose. For this religious community, that purpose is our mission. The congregation wrote it together, and we say it together every Sunday. Let's do so now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Some things that you never will get back. One piece at a time. And you never will get them back. The story of your life, written page by page. Oh, careful what you write. Gotta read it all someday. You need a strong heart. You need a true heart. You need a heart like that in a world like this, so you don't get faithless. You might get faithless. In the shiny eye of wonder, in the living heart of love, in the deep blue dark down under. Tell me, what were you thinking of? You need a strong heart. You need a true, true heart. You need a heart like that in a world like this. The things we find, the things we lose, the things that we get to keep, so very few and far between, so far between. You need a strong heart. You need a true, true heart. You need a heart like that in a world like this, so you don't get faithless. You might get faithless. Ooh, faithless. I am not faithless. Now, this next part is a sing-along, but it's just na, 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 on and on. All right? Here we go. Na, 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 na. Wow, you're really doing it. Na, 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 na. Listen to that. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. All right, thank you. We are not faithless, no.
Our reading is Remember by Joy Harjo, who was appointed the U.S. Poet Laureate in 2019. Born in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1951, Harjo is a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation. Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn that is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth. We are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them. Listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind. Remember her voice. She knows the origin of the universe. Remember you are all people and all people are you. Remember, you are this universe, and this universe is you. Remember, all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember, the dance language is that life is. Remember.
This is the time in our service when we center ourselves together, we breathe together, and breathing in and out, we sense one another's loving presence. Breathing in, breathing out, we follow our breath to a deeper place inside. We find our center. We ground ourselves in that place of greater wisdom, that place where a spark of the divine resides within each of us. And breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence together, remembering that we also hold sacred human sounds, including those of small children. Breathing together, we now enter the sacred silence together. I invite you now to light candles, if you are so moved, candles of sorrow, joy, hope, remembrance, resilience, whatever may be on your heart at this time. As we light candles, I invite you to keep in your mind and heart members of our community who are ill or in sorrow, as well as those who are celebrating joys. Today we especially mourn the losses of church members Wayne Bachman, Joyce Wilson, and Phil Hewitt. Let us hold those who love them in love. As we light candles, I invite you to hold these folks. Now I invite you to light candles in our windows, and when our meditative music comes to a close, to maintain the meditative silence.
Little star, hang on tight to the roof of this night. Don't turn away, don't turn away from the world so full. I get so lost, I get so down, inside out, turned around, I turn away. I turn away from the world so full. Oh, make me willing, make me strong, make me brave as the day is long. Open my eyes, God, let me see. I won't turn away if you won't turn away. Mr. Brent, y'all. Now I know it's hard. See, it's all so sweet. Yeah, it's complicated. Yeah, it's incomplete. But I am in love. I'm still in love. This world's so full. Don't turn away. I won't turn away from the world so full. Yeah.
Happy holidays. No, Reverend Chris isn't losing it. It's just it's September, and all of the stores have had Halloween decor out for weeks already. I was in the HEB the other day, and they already had a whole fall Thanksgiving merchandise display up. A local news station recently ran a story about this great brouhaha that has erupted on social media over Hobby Lobby already putting out Christmas decorations. So, like it or not, we already get to start thinking about the impending season of joy. Or angst, depending upon your perspective. So, I thought we might start this morning with a little embodied spiritual engagement. It's simple. I'll just ask some questions, and if the answer is true for you and you're here in person, please just raise your hand. Or you can stand up and cry hallelujah if you're so moved. If you're online, feel free to answer in the comments. And of course, if you're uncomfortable with any of this, it's fine just to think about what your answer might be. Okay, first question. How many of you are just jazzed about the upcoming holiday season? Four. The Grinch and Scrooge are alive at First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. How many of you are already stressed out about it and would happily tell Hobby Lobby exactly what they can do with their way too early Christmas decorations? Any abstentia? Personally, I feel deeply that the display of Thanksgiving and Christmas decor should be banned until the average high daily temperature has fallen to no more than 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And during the middle of all this, we also have that pesky election coming up. Now, how many of you are feeling extremely nervous about the election and or its potential aftermath? That is probably the first unanimous vote in First UU history. Well, if you are having less than joy-filled feelings about the holidays and or the election, you are not alone. Surveys have found that 62% of folks feel elevated stress during the holidays. 40% don't want to celebrate at all because of grief and loss. 60% feel lonely at some point during the holidays, and 64% of folks with psychological challenges say the holidays make their conditions worse. Cardiac mortality is highest during the holiday season. Happy holidays. Now, add to that a presidential election year where 3/4 of the population say they are feeling stressed and anxious, over 1/4 are in conflict with their family and loved ones, and 40% say they are depressed about it. We've seen that before right here at this church. For several weeks after the 2016 election, I remember having to pull chairs out of the fellowship hall and line them up against that back wall here in the sanctuary to provide enough seating for all the folks coming to our services because they needed community in face of the fear and trauma they were experiencing. My therapist told me that therapists were seeking each other out for counseling sessions in the aftermath of that election. During the 2020 election and its aftermath, our request for pastoral care went through the roof. And that's a high roof. That was especially after the January 6th attempted coup, and that's what it was. We were just lucky it was so incompetently planned. So, while the holidays can certainly bring joy, community, family, generosity, and more, one of our pre-holiday annual rituals has also become trying to prepare ourselves for the potentially not-so-bright aspects of the season and just the sheer intensity of it. As I was thinking about this, the first thought that occurred to me is that we have to start our preparations for the holidays by centering ourselves, locating ourselves within that calmest, strongest, truest self, that spark of the divine within each of us. And that's how being a part of a faith community like this one can be such a huge support moving into the upcoming season. The second thought that occurred to me, though, is that one of the things that makes it more difficult for all of us to find our spiritual center is that we're all carrying at least a certain degree of collective trauma and grief from the events of the past several years. And we have to recognize that in order to move past it. So I want to spend some time this morning talking about everyone's favorite holiday topic, trauma and grief. First, though, I do want to let you know that you don't have to take my word for all of this. I ran it by my therapist, and she said it was spot on. Of course, I am paying her to make me feel better. Joking, that's not what therapy is really about. So, first, collective trauma and grief are much like our individual experiences of these things, only they occur when entire communities experience them all at once together. Communities that have gone through national disasters, natural disasters, war, genocide. Our country, after the terrorist attacks of 9/11, 2001, the world community after the COVID pandemic are just a few examples. My therapist pointed out that it was only a few years ago that we were all witnessing images of refrigerator trucks parked outside of our hospitals because so many people had died that the morgues were full. So, she commented, it would be a far stretch to say we are past having collective trauma and grief that may be hampering our ability to engage our spiritual center. Now, quickly, trauma and grief are not exactly the same. Trauma is the emotional and psychological response to deeply disturbing or distressing events, whether or not they involve a permanent loss. Grief is a collection of strong, often painful feelings that follow a loss or that happen in anticipation of a loss. I'm talking about them together today, though, because they so often occur together and they can be strongly interwoven. For instance, an unaddressed trauma response can often lead to what is sometimes called complicated grief. That's where we either delay our grief because we're not able to fully engage with it because of the trauma, or we kind of get stuck in continuous, profound, and often disabling grief because of the trauma. And all of this is especially common with collective forms of trauma and grief. Now, of course, when we are part of these collective experiences, we also experience them as individuals, and it doesn't change that we may at the same time also experience traumatic events or loss in our own individual lives, too. So before I talk about how we might move through collective trauma and grief, many of you know that I'm grieving the recent loss of my spouse, Wayne. And it would feel disingenuous of me not to talk a little bit then about individual trauma and grief. I'll ask your understanding that it is too soon for me to be able to talk about it more than just a little bit, though. And again, I don't pretend to be an expert on all of this. I am reading a good book about it, though, because I am a good Unitarian Universalist. Here are a few things I can say. Messages of support and love matter. Thank you to all of you who have sent such messages to me. For me, physical affection helps a lot, too. Hugs are welcome. For other folks, though, please do ask first whether physical expressions of affection would be helpful or not. Most of the time, the honest answer to how are you doing would be, I have no idea. I cry a lot. And that's okay. My book says that's part of grieving. Still, I might not especially feel like talking about it just then, and how I'm doing seems to change every few minutes anyway. Now, please know that I do this. I ask folks how they're doing all the time because I'm genuinely concerned about how they're doing. And we all struggle with knowing what to say. Know that when our heart is in the right place, that will be clear, even if we don't know what the right words might be. As Parker Palmer put it, it's not about what you say. I took comfort and strength from the people who neither fled from me nor tried to save me, but were simply present to me. We might best support those who are grieving by offering compassion, understanding, and tenderness. So, please understand that I find I tire easily right now, which my book says is also very common. So I'm not at 100%, and I'm going to have to pace my church schedule for a while. I also have absolutely no memory. So please forgive me if I forget things or something never makes it to my to-do list, and feel free to send me an email follow-up so it's more likely to get on that list, and to check back later with a gentle reminder if it seems like maybe it didn't. Finally, a couple of related items. Grief doesn't just happen because of losing someone we love, like I'm experiencing. And sometimes we can get all judgy about trauma and grief. And when we do that, it can make folks who are grieving the loss of a job or a dream or a pet or a marriage or a relationship and so on afraid to share what they're feeling. And so related to that, we often don't know who's coping with trauma and grief. And as I've said, and my therapist verified, we are all dealing with some degree of collective trauma and grief. So we might do well to just always approach one another with that compassion, understanding, and tenderness I mentioned earlier. Okay, now, how do we help each other move through collective trauma and grief so that each of us is better able to spiritually center ourselves as we move into this election and holiday season? Remember after 9-1-1 when we were told just to go shopping? That's not it. Perhaps not surprisingly, what it does involve is many of the ways we center ourselves individually, only for collective experiences we also heal together communally. One of the best examples of this I've read is the story of the grieving parents and the children who survived the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School mass shooting. It's hard to believe that the children who survived are now young adults. Together, as a community, those folks from Sandy Hook created opportunities for public mourning and embodied rituals. They offered their children therapy, including theater-type play. They engaged in community art and music projects reflecting upon their losses. They made lists within their community of folks whom they would check in on and who would check in on them. They volunteered to help other people through the trauma of the inexcusably continuing mass shootings that are happening in our country. They organized to advocate changes to this country's abominable gun laws. Those last two kind of remind me of the saying by author E.B. White, "I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. This makes it hard to plan the day." I think we often, or too often, forget that in our efforts to save the world, we are also so often saving ourselves. As we approach this holiday season and this election, as a religious community, we can do all of those things they did to help each other work through our fears and any pain we may carry so that we can, as we heard in our call to worship earlier, catch up to the love we truly are. Certainly, depending upon how the election and its aftermath go, we will offer rituals and other opportunities for processing it communally here at the church. And if you might be feeling like you might want some support involving the holidays, please feel free to contact caring@austinuu.org. Together, we can help each other remember. Remember our profound interconnectedness, as so beautifully illustrated by our reading earlier. Together, we can help each other remember. Remember to offer one another that compassion, understanding, and tenderness throughout the season. Remember that we, as a community, are faithful. Remember that we already have strong hearts. Remember that we already are true, true hearts. Remember. Amen.
Please join me in the words by which we extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
Now let us go out into the world centered in the love we already are. Let us remember that the universe is within us and we are the universe. Let us know that our fears and sorrows can open us to even more joy and even more love. Now, let us find peace in building the beloved community. May the congregation say amen,
amen.
And blessed be. Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.